The booming economy of the last decade made the dream of decent, affordable housing a reality for millions of Americans. But for the poorest of the poor, or those in regions where the good times never came, coming up with the rent every month remains as much a struggle as ever. This week, Morning Edition reports on the efforts of some of the neediest Americans to find a decent place to live or to hang on to what housing they have. Today, NPR's Madeline Brand visits Alabama and a 40-year-old federal program to provide rental housing to poor people in rural areas. But federal funding has declined, many landlords want out, and tenants say they're left with no place to go.
Carol Cleveland looks a lot like Lady Bird Johnson. She has that 60s bouffant hairdo, a soft southern accent, and a certain southern belle way about her. Cleveland once lived in an upper middle class suburb of Birmingham with her husband and two children. But then she divorced and her ex-husband cut her off. Unable to afford living where she was, she moved miles away to Riverside, Alabama, population 1,564. She now lives in a housing development on the banks of the Coosa River.
I came up here, I loved it, and I thought this is a place I could live comfortably, not be afraid, and I could afford it. I have no savings, nothing. Just my disability check, which is $866 a month. So there's not many places you can go with that kind of limited income.
Cleveland also has medical problems, which leave her barely able to walk, so she can't work. Her apartment is small. You can walk from one end to the other in just a few seconds.
But it's basically, I guess, like all the other apartments. Mm-hmm. The carpet's worn, and it's kind of a whitewash. The stoves are over 25 years old, and doors won't seal, and that kind of thing. But we do feel safe. Everybody looks out for each other. That's really the best part of it.
Perhaps no one needs more looking after than Kenneth Tinney, who lives around the corner from Cleveland. He's 26 years old. When he was 19, a car wreck left him paralyzed from the neck down. He sleeps during the day and is awake all night, strapped in his wheelchair. When he sleeps, his mom sleeps on an air mattress on the floor next to him and gets up every 2 hours to turn him. Their life is tough, but Tinney says they like where they live.
I've been here for 7 years. It's a shame, you know, you get used to everybody. People are scared to talk to me and don't know how to react to me, being in a wheelchair. And they all know me. We're all like, so we're all like family out here. It's hard to replace a neighbor and a friend.
But that's exactly what may happen. Cleveland, Tinney, and about 60 others live in what's known as a 515 project. 515 is the name of a federal program that was created in the early 1960s. Basically, the government said developers will give you a 1% loan and lots of tax breaks if you build and manage low-income housing in rural areas. And during the 60s and 70s, the program worked. Developers were eager to sign up, and poor people were able to live in nice, new, affordable housing.
It was really one of the most successful government programs that you could point to. This program represents really the first time that the federal government successfully attracted the private sector in building affordable housing projects.
Jeff Eklund is a lawyer in Minneapolis. He represents hundreds of owners across the country who are so disillusioned with the 515 program, they want out. One of them is Charles Martin, the owner of the Riverside Coves Apartments. Riverside Coves is a collection of two-story buildings along the riverbank, which gives it the feeling of a vacation property. And just across the river, a new Honda plant means jobs for an area that's seen more than its share of hard times. Great for the tiny town of Riverside, not so great for Carol Cleveland, Kenneth Tinney, and the other tenants. That's because Charles Martin now wants to leave the 515 program so he can raise the rents, meaning the tenants would have to move. Many are ill, many are elderly, and all are poor. Nancy Champion is all three. She pays $186 a month. Market rate is more than double that. She says there's no way she could afford it. The thought of it brings her to tears.
It's not a good prospect, and I'm scared, and not right. I'm all for anybody making as much as they can, but if they made an agreement to build this place for people who needed it, they knew what they were doing and they made their commitment then.
Yes, they made a commitment, but when the federal government created the program 40 years ago, it allowed the owners to opt out of their commitment at any time. To entice developers into the program, they were told they could pay off their mortgages whenever they pleased. But then, alarmed that too many owners were doing just that, Congress passed a law in the mid-1980s making it much more difficult to prepay. That, says attorney Jeff Eklund, was unfair to the largely mom-and-pop property owners who were counting on being able to pay off their mortgages and live off the profits during their retirement.
If you can imagine buying a home and obtaining a conventional 30-year mortgage on your home, can you imagine how you would feel if the banker wrote you a letter one day and said that your prepayment right contained in your mortgage was no longer enforceable? That would mean that, in essence, you were forced to live in your home for 30 years, not be able to sell it, not be able to do something else with it before the 30 years.
Eklund argued before the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this year that the federal government should be held liable when it reneges on a contract. The court unanimously agreed, and that has cleared the way for property owners across the country to sue the federal government. One of them is Charles Martin, the owner of Riverside Coves. And while Martin is fighting the government, Carol Cleveland, Kenneth Tinney, and Nancy Champion are suing him to try to force him to remain in the 515 program. Martin declined to comment for this story. But both landlords and tenants agree that the main problem lies with the federal government. Over the last decade or so, funding for the 515 program has plummeted. Moises Losa runs the Housing Assistance Council, a nonprofit advocacy group for rural residents.
We used to be in the $640 million level back in the early 80s. We are now at about $114, $15 million.
That's barely enough money to build one apartment building in each state. Losa says there's also little money to entice owners like Charles Martin to stay in the program by offering them tax breaks. He's afraid that many owners will choose to leave the program now that their 20-year commitment is coming to an end.
So as we get into the next 5-10 years, almost all of the units, because there's so few being built now, almost all of the units will be eligible to get out of the program. And if the families are displaced, where do they go?
A question Carol Cleveland and the tenants in Riverside, Alabama ponder every day.
The need is still here. It hasn't gone away. This is a very rural, poor community. There's nothing in Riverside. It hasn't changed, except we got a Best Western motel.
Cleveland says there aren't any affordable apartments nearby without long waiting lists.
So be back to Birmingham, tenements and projects. So that's the way it goes.
Madeline Brand, NPR News, Riverside, Alabama.